From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. Today I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes in today's edition. We will present some segments to you beginning from news, commentary, and other information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Stay tuned with Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. We will begin with the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Law and Policy Study Center says President Joko Widodo has two ways to nullify KPK law revisions. Indonesia condemns the attack on Saudi Arabia oil facility. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Law and Policy Study Center said that President Joko Widodo has options to hold discussions on revisions of Law No. 30/2002 concerning Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK. Albeit the presidential letter has been passed, he still has two ways to call off the draft revisions. It was said by the center researcher Agil Oktarial in Jakarta on Sunday, September 15, as quoted by Tempo. Agil explained that based on the principle of contrarious actus, the president can revoke the letter and the law will not be eligible for discussions. President Joko Widodo could also refrain from appointing his two ministers to join the draft bill discussions in the House of Representatives DPR. The surplus stipulated the assignment of Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli and Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Syafruddin. The president could implement the two ways to postpone the draft revisions, which reportedly will be issued on Tuesday, September 17, this week. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, stated that Indonesia condemns the attack perpetrated by Houthi rebels on Saudi Arabian oil facility Aramco. It is based on the official statement of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Monday, September 16. The Indonesian government calls for another dialogue and support the political process in Yemen under the United Nations leadership. Previously, the Yemeni rebel group Al-Houthi, affiliating with Iran on Saturday, attacked two Saudi Arabian oil installations, Aramco, including the biggest oil processing installation in the world, causing fire. The Saudi Arabian government explained that it had controlled the fire. However, they did not explain whether the incident affects the production oil. The government of East Nusa Tenggara is optimistic that the trade of the province to Timor-Leste will significantly grow if the sea transportation from Maritime Alor Regency to Dili is improved. It was remarked by Public Relations and Protocol Bureau at the Regional Secretary of East Nusa Tenggara, Marius Jelamu, in Kupang on Sunday, September 15. Marius pointed out that the development of the International Maritime Seaport, which is slated to operate in 2020, would boost the transfer of goods and passengers from East Nusa Tenggara to Timor-Leste. He added that Timor-Leste has become more dynamic. Therefore, the Indonesian government keeps intensively developing a number of supporting facilities at the maritime seaport in a bid to support the economic and trade activities at the seaport connecting East Nusa Tenggara with Dili. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Muluk met Iranian Minister of Health and Medical Education Said Namaki in Tehran on Saturday. At the meeting, Minister Nila Muluk said that the Indonesian government is committed to implementing the MOU on health cooperation, which was signed at the meeting in Geneva immediately. In addition, Minister Nila Muluk explained that the Indonesian government has carried out effort to improve health care, reduce mortality rate, and prevent complex diseases. She also disseminated two programs of the Indonesian government that have been implemented, namely Healthy Nusantara, in which new doctors and medical assistants are deployed to isolated areas, and Healthy Lifestyle Movement, or GERMAS, which is a movement that aims to promote healthy lifestyle. Meanwhile, on the occasion, Minister Namaki talked about the health programs of the Iranian government, such as improving health facility, health insurance, and ways to prevent infectious diseases. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. Former Indonesian presidential candidate Sandiaga Uno encourages the development of Sharia economy in a bid to enhance the prosperity of the Indonesian nation. One of the efforts to realize the strengthening of Sharia economy is through cooperatives. It was remarked by Sandiaga Uno on the sidelines of the inauguration of the Syariah Adil Makmur Cooperative in Sidoarjo, East Java on Sunday, September 15. Sandiaga pointed out that the cooperative provides food staples and other daily needs. In addition, Sandiaga explained that the government must focus on implementing training and capacity building to increase the quality of cooperatives' human resources. Furthermore, he also appreciated cooperatives for establishing cooperation with enterprises in providing goods and services for customers. The Syariah Adil Makmur Cooperative was initiated by Muslim entrepreneurs to achieve prosperity and justice in accordance with the 1945 Constitution, especially Article 33. Economic observer Hisar Sirait perceived that the implementation of CELNIAS 2019, which was held on Saturday, could provide significant contribution to enhancing local economy. Hisar Sirait said in Jakarta on Sunday, September 15, the positive impact of the event could be achieved with the support of appropriate facilities and infrastructures, such as improving road access to tourism destinations. In addition to developing the infrastructures, Hisar pointed out that the government must also encourage its people to change their mindset and attitude in a bid to develop the values and cultures of Nias. Hisar explained that Nias could be developed as marine, natural, and cultural tourism. Besides that, Nias is also known to be the second best surfing spot in the world after Hawaii in the United States. The last item, contingents of Indonesia, the Philippines, and Japan have received the International Basket Federation FIBA flag in the sideline event of 2019 FIBA World Cup in Beijing, China on Sunday, September 15. The flag distribution is a symbolic ceremony of the three countries to co-host the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup. Indonesia was represented by Erick Thohir as a member of the FIBA Central Board, along with Perbasi head Dani Kosasi, while from the Philippines and Japan are Manuel Pangilinan and Yuko Mitsuya, respectively. Erick Thohir remarked that the flag handover is a starting point for the preparation of the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup, which means Indonesia must start to be serious in preparing itself. According to him, the success of China in hosting the global event should be taken as a barometer for Indonesia, the Philippines, and Japan to do better in the next 4 years. He pointed out that the three countries as the co-hosts have their own uniqueness, and so it should be the strength to present a memorable experience for not only players, but every audience and basketball lovers from around the world. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is "To Strongly Punish Those Who Burn Land and Forest." Well, listener, forest is a very vital area for the earth and human life source. Indonesia is known as the world's third biggest country of forest in the world. It consists of tropical forests in some regions across Indonesia, especially in rainforest. In Kalimantan and Papua, based on the data of Forest Watch Indonesia, around 82 hectares of Indonesian land is covered with thick forest. Forest is also one of the supporting parts of natural equilibrium and microbiological energy resources that are in need. The question is that what happens if the forest is burned? Forest and land fires almost occur in some regions throughout Indonesia every year, usually entering dry season. Anyhow, the forest and land fires may bring about disadvantages for both local and both local people and neighboring countries. The serious negative impacts are the losses of flora and fauna and air pollution. As a consequence, the people impacted may suffer from many kinds of diseases such as respiratory infection, asthma, and chronic lung disorders. In addition, the smoke of the forest and land fires also interrupts the sight distance left before the flight. In general, the causing factors of the forest and land fires are lightning and human activities which are carried out intentionally or unintentionally. The intentional burning is aimed at opening new land for plantation. The government of Indonesia has attempted to address the forest and land fires by mobilizing the local people, the police and armed forces personnel. More importantly, the government through the Minister of Environment has seriously punished those who are proven to have burned the forest. So far, there had been hundreds of suspected people and 4 companies. The serious efforts of the Indonesian government to cope with the forest and land fires are worth appreciating. The local people, primarily the individual planters, also have to take part in maintaining their environment. They must be aware of negative consequences of the forest and land fires. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Semboyan kami angkasawan RRI.
Hi, friends and colleagues at RRI. I'm James Jong, and I'm the Director of International Relations of KBS. On behalf of KBS, I'd like to express my warmest congratulations on 74 years of your distinguished service. We salute you for the dedication, ceaseless hard work, and outstanding achievements. Happy anniversary to all of you. KBS and RRI have been close partners, mainly through ABU, to serve the audiences all over the world. KBS has been an ardent supporter for RRI vision that cherishes human rights, equality of races and nations, and strong convictions of settling any dispute by peaceful means. Doubtlessly, these values are universal ones. To this end, I can't help saying we are all in the same front line of battlefield. Again, I can't thank you enough for the unwavering support for KBS. Fingers crossed, you keep up the good work. As always, rain or shine, I hope I can see you soon. Bye-bye.
Listener, we continue to our next segment today in history. We will give you historic events about many things happening on the day of 16 September. Enjoy the program. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on September 16, 1982, when Sabra and Shatila massacre occurred. Sabra and Shatila massacre occurred on September 16, 1982 in Beirut, Lebanon, where was at the time occupied by Israel. The massacre was conducted by the Maronite Christian militias of Lebanon on Palestinian refugees at Sabra and Shatila camps. The Maronite force was directly under Eli Hobeika's command, who became Lebanese parliamentary member, and in 1990s he also became a minister of Lebanese cabinet. Along the event, the camps were under siege by Israeli soldiers, and the militias were sent to Israel to find members of Palestine Liberation Organization, or also known as PLO. To what extent Israel was guilty in the massacre is still debated, and Israel denied that its party was directly responsible. However, the findings proved that the Israelis, including Ariel Sharon, were indirectly responsible. Next event is that in 1987, Montreal Protocol was signed. Montreal Protocol is an international tractate designed to protect ozone layer by eliminating the production of a number of substances which are believed responsible for decreasing ozone layer. The tractate was opened to be signed on September 16, 1987, and valid since January 1, 1989. Since then, the tractate has experienced revision 5 times, in 1990 in London, 1992 in Copenhagen, 1995 in Vienna, 1997 in Montreal, and 1999 in Beijing. As a result of international agreement, the ozone hole in Antarctica is slowly restored. The climate projection shows that ozone layer will be back to level of 1980 between 2050 and 2070. Because of that level of wide application and implementation, the tractate is considered as example of success of international cooperation. The tractate is focused on some groups of halogen hydrocarbon compounds believed to play a major role in ozone layer erosion. All of these substances have chlorine or bromine. Last event is that in 1975, Papua New Guinea was free from Australia after being controlled by 3 foreign powers since 1998. Papua New Guinea, or PNG, was free from Australia in 1975. Now PNG becomes part of the Commonwealth. PNG is a country which is located at the east of Papua Island and land borders with Papuan province of Indonesia in the west. Its capital city and one of the biggest cities is Port Moresby. Listener, that was Today in History.
Kau pernah bilang cinta akulah satu-satunya. Kau bilang ku sempurna, kau cinta aku selamanya. Dan kau tuliskan lagu semua tentang diriku. Kau katakan padaku, jangan ragukan cintamu. Semua hanya rangkaian kata yang kau sebar ke semua wanita. Oh, bodohnya ku sempat percaya. Semua yang kita punya nyata, kamu dan semua kata-katamu semua palsu. Hatimu untukku,
kau berjanji.
was the first song titled Rangkaian Kata by Gita Gutawa. You still stay tuned to us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will give you our program My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to meet you again in our regular program My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesian today is Indotrans Expo 2019. Well, listener, in commemorating the National Transportation Day, Indonesia Minister of Transportation held Indotrans Expo 2019. When opening the Indotrans Expo 2019 in JCC Senayan, Jakarta on Friday, Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed that good management of transportation may help the government reduce the trade account deficit through less use of fuels in transportation sector. If the personal motor vehicles are getting bigger, consumption of fuels is also getting bigger. As a result, air pollution cannot be avoided due to the emission of the motor vehicles. A good management of transportation is by building infrastructure public, fast, and comfortable modes of transportation. Consequently, the people, especially the commuters, are expected to change their lifestyle from using their personal motor vehicles to public transportation. Thus, the Minister of Transportation has to carry out rapid transformation in managing transportation in land, sea, and air transportation across Indonesia. With effective and efficient transportation system, the infrastructure development across Indonesia has been efficiently mobilized. Of course, this connects among people and cargo inter-region. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked for the Transportation Ministry to adjust with updated transportation technology that can reduce the traffic accident. More importantly, the human resources in the transportation sector must be improved to address the obstacles in the transportation sector such as modes of sea, land, and air transportation. In the commemoration of National Transportation Day, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi hopes that his side can improve human resources in his ministry so that transportation becomes more convenient, safer, and more comfortable. Indotrans Expo 2019 was held from Friday 13 of September to Sunday 15 of September with the theme Connecting the Archipelago, Building the Nation, a real service for transportation people for excellent Indonesia, advanced Indonesia. The aim of the exhibition was to provide information to the public about the development of infrastructure, facilities, and human resources in the transportation sector in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Lalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalal
Voice of Indonesia.
There was a second song titled Biar Ku Nikmati or Let Me Enjoy by Rika Ruslan. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. And for the next segment, we will show you the beauty of Indonesian culture, tourism destinations, and other interesting things about Indonesia's local wisdom in our program Indonesian Wonder. And for today's edition, we will present you a place in South Sulawesi called Siguntang Hill. Enjoy our program. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Siguntang Hill in South Sumatra. Stay tuned. Siguntang Hill in Palembang is not probably as popular as Ampera Bridge, which splits the Musi River. This hill is a sacred place which has story of Sriwijaya Kingdom. Siguntang Hill is located at Bukit Lama Village in West Ilir District, Palembang, South Sumatra. In the past, Siguntang Hill was believed to be a place for praying of royal family, as well as meditation place to calm the mind. Until now, the hill, whose height is 29 to 30 meters above sea level, is still considered sacred by pilgrimage to Palembang, noble stones, and considered as founder of Palembang city. The hill is the highest point in Palembang, so that it is believed to be a safest place if there is flood. On the peak of the hill, there are some tombs which are related to the figures of kings, noble, and heroes of Malay Sriwijaya. It is quite easy to access tourism object of Siguntang Hill because it is located in the downtown of Palembang. The trip to the destination can be accessed from the downtown by using land transportation to Ampera Bukit Besar. The land transportation will carry you directly to Siguntang Hill. Entering to the hill area, the visitor will be charged to the entrance ticket 3,000 rupiah for adult and 2,000 rupiah for kids. Because its location is close to the downtown, so it is not difficult to find restaurants. You can also find hotels and other accommodation in accordance with your need and budget. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for listening.
Terjadi semenjak hari itu, hati ini miliknya.
Kalau dia jatuh hati
seperti apa yang ku rasa,
mungkinkah dia jatuh cinta
seperti apa yang ku damba.
Bilakah dia mengerti apa yang telah terjadi? Hasratku tak tertahan untuk dapatkan dirinya.
terjadi. Hasratku tak tertahan untuk dapat.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You've just listened to a song by Kahitna titled Andai Dia Tahu, or If She Knew. And for the next segment, I'm going to accompany you with our program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia that will teach you Indonesian language in fun and easy way. So stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Ucapan Ulang Tahun Lewat Pos L, or in English, Birthday Greeting by Email. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about ucapan ulang tahun lewat pos L, or in English, birthday greeting by email. Tony is celebrating his birthday at Joko's house.
Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat pos L.
Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya?
Ya, sudah.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Telepon, which means telephone. Pos, which means post. Email atau surat elektronik, which means email. Melalui, which means through or by. Via, which means via. Menyampaikan selamat, which means to congratulate. Mengirim, which means to send. Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat pos L. Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat pos L, which means my sister or brother sends me birthday greeting by email. Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya? Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya? Which means, Have you replied it? Ya sudah. Ya sudah. Which means, yes, I have. Listener in the dialogue, Tony said, kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat email. Or in English, my sister or brother sends me a birthday greeting via email. That expression, like Tony's statement in the dialogue, is usually used when someone tells about the media they use when sending or giving something. In the expression, it is usually used the word lewat. Lewat has the same meaning with via and melalui, which means by or through. Next, let's listen to some examples of the use of the words lewat, via, and melalui. Dia menyampaikan selamat lewat telepon. Dia menyampaikan selamat via telepon. Dia menyampaikan selamat melalui telepon. In English, he or she conveys congratulations by phone. Kakakku mengirim hadiah lewat pos. Kakakku mengirim hadiah via pos. And next, kakakku mengirim hadiah melalui pos. In English, my sister sends me gifts via post. Well, listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat pos L.
Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya?
Ya, sudah.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Jangan memaksakan ini, jika memang bukan yang ini. Karena sesuatu yang peka buat kita jadi masalah. Yang ku mau ada dirimu, tapi tak begini keadaannya. Yang ku mau semua jadi yang ku mau.
sesuatu yang peka buat kita jadi masalah. Yang ku mau ada dirimu, tapi tak begini keadaannya. Yang ku mau selalu denganmu. Jika Tuhan mau begini, rubahlah semua jadi yang ku mau, karena ku ingin semua berjalan seperti yang ku
a song titled Yang Ku Mau or The Thing That I Want by Krisdayanti. For the next segment, let's listen to our music, Indonesian keroncong music in our program Music Corner. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song entitled Dinda Bestari. Langgam keroncong Dinda Bestari was composed by Suprono or Sunandar Hadi Kusumo. He was born in Sidoarjo, East Jawa on February 17, 1924 and had served as governor of East Jawa during 1976 to 1983 period. Although Sunandar has died, the song Dinda Bestari continues to be enjoyed by the music lovers, especially keroncong music lovers, until nowadays. The song tells about an officer who has long time not met the beloved, since he is struggling to defend the country. He hopes and prays they will meet again someday. Besides Mus Mulyadi, the song also sung by Rama Aipama in disco reggae genre. Well, listener, here is Langgam Dinda Bestari by Mus Mulyadi. Enjoy the song.
Terserang bahaya.
Listener, thank you very much for joining our English terrestrial program on Voice of Indonesia. Please don't forget, if you want to send your thoughts, your comments, and your feedbacks regarding our broadcasting, you can send them to our email address voi@voinews.id. And also, check out some of our social media like Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter @voiindonesia. Thank you for joining us and have a great day!